Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. What does it mean to be healed? How is healing different from curing? These questions came up this week as I sat with our gospel reading. But before we move there, let's talk a little bit about the historical and cultural context of this story. This is a healing story, and it's also framed by Jesus's interaction with other religious leaders, a kind of intra-religious critique. So Jesus and his fellow Jewish colleagues are arguing here about how to interpret custom and law around keeping the Sabbath. The leader of the synagogue criticizes Jesus for healing on the Sabbath, and Jesus responds by pushing back and offering a different, more expansive interpretation on what it means to keep Sabbath. Jesus argues that bringing healing to someone is not just permissible, but good and holy to do on the Sabbath. And we see this frame, this type of interaction between Jesus and his religious colleagues throughout the Gospels. Jesus is always pushing boundaries, turning set ideas upside down, questioning rules and practices that are not life-giving, and advocating always for our flourishing. Within this frame of intra-religious critique, we have a story of healing. A cultural note, during Jesus' time, illnesses of all kinds, whether of the mind or the body, were characterized as being caused by spirits. Today, with different scientific and medical knowledge, we are able to say that some illnesses are caused by a change in brain chemistry, others by viruses or bacteria or cancer cells. But in the time of the Gospels, illness and unwellness were seen as being caused by invading or possessing spirits. Another related note here, when Jesus says that the woman has been bound by Satan, we remember that the word Satan means adversary, accuser, opponent. People of Jesus' time saw the spirits that they thought caused illness as opponents to be fought. And we talk about illness today this way too, don't we? We talk about people fighting and battling cancer or depression or addiction. So when Jesus says the woman has been bound by Satan, he's not saying that she's done anything wrong. Because often when we hear Satan, we think evil, and we associate that with sin. But this woman's ailment is not caused by anything she did. Jesus is very clear in separating sin from differing bodily abilities in the Gospel of John, chapter 9, when he says that a man born blind lacked sight not because of sin, but in the New International Translation, so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. So that the work of God might be displayed in his life. I love that translation because across our differing abilities, across our times of wellness and illness, aren't we all born so that the work of God might be displayed in our lives? And so it is with this woman in our gospel story. We're invited to be curious about this woman. She's not named. We don't know what has been bowing her down for 18 years. In other words, we don't know if this is a physical ailment, a problem with her back, for example. Maybe. Or perhaps she is bowed down by grief or depression. We don't know. But the story invites us to relate to her, to ask the question, what is bowing us down? Where are the places in our lives that feel oppressive? We can admire this woman's resilience, her faithfulness. And this is one way that the work of God is displayed through her life. With her ailment, this woman has come to the synagogue, to her place of worship, to hear Jesus teach, to receive a comforting word. And the first thing she does after she is set free from her ailment is to praise God. How many of us come to church, have come here today for the same reasons, with all the burdens that we carry, with the burdens and ailments and losses that are bowing us down, to be seen and called by Jesus, to be set free by Jesus, and to sing our songs of praise, giving thanks to the God who accompanies us, who wants to feed and heal us? What does it mean to be healed? How is healing different from curing? Healing is a long process. For example, a surgeon performs an operation to address the source of someone's pain or illness, and if it's successful, someone might tell that person the next day, "You are cured." And we know that after surgery, there's a longer period of recovery, involving maybe relearning how to do things, care for our wounds, rest, physical therapy, addressing any emotional or spiritual trauma or changes that might come along with our post-surgical bodies and minds. All of that is the healing process. Healing takes longer. And so when I think about healing in terms of our Christian tradition, it is this long process I think about. Healing is perhaps a lifelong process. When I was preparing to be a hospice volunteer, I took a divinity school course called Facing Death and Dying Well. And that phrase, dying well, has a double meaning. It describes the hope that we might have to have what we call a good death or a holy death. And it also describes the hope to die as a well person, regardless of what might be causing our bodily death. So as we consider Jesus' healing ministry, we might change the title of that class I took to Facing Death and Dying Healed. What might it mean to die as a healed person? When and if we struggle with the stories of Jesus' miracle healings, it might be helpful to remember that all of the people, including the woman in our story today, all of these folks who received healing from Jesus still died. They still suffered. Even Lazarus, whom Jesus resuscitated from death, still died again later. I'm not saying this to be morbid. I'm saying this because it's true. And I'm saying this because the healing ministry of Jesus is not a cheap trick. The healing ministry of Jesus is serious. The healing Jesus offers is both deadly serious and joyfully serious, like the cross and the resurrection. Jesus himself moves through suffering and death and joy in solidarity with us. What does it mean to be healed? There's a churchy word that aligns itself with this concept of lifelong healing, and that word is sanctification, the process of being made holy. To seek to be healed, to seek to be more and more sanctified by God, is to seek to be changed, to be made holy day by day through engaging in practices that open us up more and more to the sanctifying power of God's grace. Prayer, worship, repentance, works of love and justice, participation in the sacraments. Speaking of the sacraments, I love how in this story, Jesus compares our need for healing to an animal's need for water. This reminds us that we are creatures of God's creation, just like an ox or a donkey. We literally need water to live. Like our need for water when we are thirsty, our need for healing is great. We do long for healing. And linking water and healing, as Jesus does here, is so baptismal. From the time we are born until and beyond our bodily death, we are being healed and sanctified. And the sacrament of baptism is a public sign of this grace, a promise of this gift of healing from God that we continue to receive in the Eucharist by coming to God's table to give thanks, to be fed by the presence of Jesus in bread and wine, by his own healed and healing body and blood. Whether we choose to call the course of our life facing death and dying well, facing death and dying healed, or facing death and dying sanctified, we first have to acknowledge our need for healing, and then we have to want to be healed, to want to be transformed. Once we do, like the woman in our story, we are invited to show up as we are able, to place ourselves in the way of a surprising and healing encounter with Jesus, yes, at our place of worship, and wherever we find ourselves in the world. We are urged to be prepared and open enough to encounter Jesus anywhere, at any time, in the people and places and creatures we might least expect. Like the faithful woman in our story, we are invited to show up. Yes, for 18 years. Yes, for a lifetime. Seeking healing and growing. Even if we might not feel that growth, we are growing in God's grace and in God's sanctifying and transformational love. Amen.